reading again, Exodus 15:11. Who is like thee among the gods, O Lord? Who is like thee, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? We're drawing to a conclusion our study of this so marvelous and glorious song of the declaration of the wonderful and powerful working of God for the sake of those whom He redeemed unto Himself. Lord willing, we will finish it next week. The simple fact of the matter is that this song of Moses is so filled with the worship of God that I've been enthralled with it and what it tells us about our God, our Creator and Savior. As it is stated in the last book of the Bible, we will be singing this song of Moses in the eternal ages to come. Therefore, I've been in no rush to get through it, but rather to let it captivate and enrich my heart and mind in consideration of the Lord. And I hope that the same has been true in each living testimony in this room of the greatness of God. Every one of us has a tremendous song of our salvation to add to this chorus, declaring the majesty and the magnificence of the Lord God Almighty. Continuing in this vein, let us focus today upon the fact that God is majestic in His holiness, and He is worthy to be praised for the every detail of His righteousness and splendor as so presented to us. His holiness is to become our very holiness in Jesus Christ. We are to desire to manifest it in our every interaction with God, with ourselves, and with all others. As we read in Leviticus 19:2-4, speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. There is a charge given to the people to be holy because God is holy. It is not an option. It is not a suggestion. It is a command in the fact that because they belong to God and He is holy, they are to be holy in their very nature of being, just like God. Please make careful note of how God invested Himself into this reality of who they had become. In this single passage, He reiterates 3 times that He is the Lord their God. He does not leave any room for an excuse or for argument or for lack of support. He makes it very, very, very clear that He is their God and that what is now true of them is based on His ownership of them as His redeemed people. The psalmist carries this forward for us in Psalms 145:14-21. If you would please turn to it. Psalms 145, verses 14 through 21. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to Thee, and Thou dost give them their food in due time. Thou dost open thy hand and dost satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. What the psalmist does is to reinforce the fact that God does not just expect us to be holy on our own merits and by our own initiative. Rather, it is God who makes the every provision for our holiness. He supplies the every manner for us to be holy in our interactions with him, with each other, and with ourselves. Nothing is based on our efforts. It is all by his grace and his mercy and his supply of what is necessary for our lives to manifest that which is now absolutely true of us in Jesus Christ. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. It is vital that we recognize the fact that we are now holy because we are covered by Christ's holiness and his righteousness. There is no other standing or form of holiness that has any bearing in the heart of God. Only the perfect and complete holiness of the only begotten Son is sufficient to be in the direct presence of God. And that he supplies for us and in us by the working of his own Holy Spirit. As a result of the working power and majesty of the Lord, all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. The prophet Isaiah was shown the magnificent and regal and incomparable splendor of the holiness of God as recounted in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah's vision of how awesome and deserving of praise is God in the brilliance and grandeur of his holiness caused Isaiah to recognize just how unworthy and defiled humanity apart from the redemption of God truly was. Despite the every lie which declares that humanity is the pinnacle of nature, Isaiah saw that he was ruined and unclean and in utter hopelessness before the awesome splendor of the holiness of God. God is worthy of all the praise and the adoration of the entire universe. and the whole earth is full of His glory. This revelation made the prophet later relate the words of the Lord, in which we can take tremendous comfort. Please follow along as we read Isaiah chapter 57, verses 15 through 19. Isaiah 57, 15 through 19. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is Holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be angry. For the spirit would grow faint before me, and the breath of those whom I have made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry and struck him. I hid my face and was angry, and he went on turning away in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of lips. Peace, peace to him who is far, and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. This passage is for those who recognize that we cannot be holy through any of our own efforts. As much as we may try, we will always fail when we seek to promote our endeavors and our abilities and our best intentions. Only the holiness of Jesus Christ will serve to please the Lord. When we are feeling depressed and like abject failures because we have not been so pleasing to the Lord, we can hold on to the full impact of this passage of the Lord's own encouragement to us. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of the lips. Peace. Peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. We can count on God to bring peace to our hearts and minds as we seek to earnestly and fully honor him in the lives that we live on this earth. We are never going to be perfect in this walk. That is true. However, as we look to Him, He will always and forever be the every source of our guidance and our supply and our comfort. We come to know Him in this reality as we learn day by day how to more and more fully live our lives in accordance with His holiness. It will always be to His glory and none of our own. With our hearts fully seeking for the life of Jesus Christ to be manifested more and more clearly in a pure reflection of the one who now lives forth his life from us unto others, please turn in your Bibles to the great blessing of Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Luke 1, 46 through 55. In this passage, we have the recognition by Mary of what God would accomplish through the birth of Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." She was exulting with awe at the mighty working of God that would fulfill the promises to the patriarchs through this soon-to-be-born Savior. She recognized that the holiness of God demanded that he make the every provision as promised through the lineage of David for the sake of her people and for the sake of the faithfulness of the Lord God Almighty. Her grasp of the significance of the momentous events unfolding in her lifetime showed that she believed in and trusted God to show forth his majesty and his glory and his grace and his mercy through the Christ child that she would bear. His perfect holiness would be the covering and the fulfillment of all who would seek and believe upon him. As the Apostle Peter would later declare, even the angelic hosts desire to see what God has done in the giving of his only begotten Son. The holiness of God himself has graced us and all of creation in the salvation ministry of the Son of God and the Son of Man. This is to have very specific and detailed consequences in those who call upon him for this salvation, as we read together in 1 Peter 1, 10 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 21. "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Amen. The apostle reiterates the passage from Leviticus, but he does so with the added emphasis that we are now holy, singly and solely, because of the mighty and glorious work of Jesus Christ. What was always to be true of the redeemed of the Lord is now completely in place because of the risen Lord Jesus. This has created an urgent longing and yearning within all of God's creation to see fully what He has done as the source and eternal being of holiness within this humanity, which to this point has seemed only to disappoint and besmirch and turn its back upon its Creator. What will ultimately be seen by the whole universe is that God has done something truly marvelous and miraculous within the fellowship of His created humanity. By the Son taking upon Himself flesh and becoming the perfect Adam, redemption of humanity has become available to all who will call upon Him. The very holiness of God is now in place within humanity, which was once so at odds with God and lost in sin and death. This glorious truth will be recounted age without end as we read in Revelation 4, 8 through 11. Revelation 4, 8 through 11. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy art Thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou didst create all things, and because of Thy will they existed and were created." We, the redeemed of the Lord, those in whom the Spirit of God now dwells, rescued by the salvation provided in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, will join in the chorus, as detailed in Revelation 15, 3 and 4. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts have been revealed. Truly, as the song of Moses proclaims, Who is like thee among the gods, O Lord? Who is like thee, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? Amen.